Camps are about to wrap up, the regular season right around the corner. Reports on the New Orleans Saints. Boy, is there a quarterback controversy brewing as the backup to Drew Brees. The hay's in the barn basically for the LSU Tigers. We'll get a report on scrimmage number two as we're 12 days away from the start of the regular season. Plus, everything you need to know about the Raging Cajuns, all coming your way. Today, Monday, August 19th, 2019.
And hit it to left field. That might be deep enough to get past the defender. It is! It's a base hit, and the Rockies win it. Garrett Hampson with the game winner. There's only two outfielders, no chance to catch the ball. That's a single, and the Rockies win it in 10, 7-6.
Here comes the pitch to Rizzo. He hits one to deep left center field. Going back is the center fielder, Marte, and this one is gone. Anthony Rizzo connects on a two-run shot. Cubs have blown the doors open here. A 7-0 lead now over the Pirates in the fifth.
You all know that AB is not here today, right? So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. Okay, but we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in. We're all out, okay? So we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story. No question.
The continuing saga of Antonio Brown at the Oakland Raiders with Mike Mayock, the GM, talking about end of subject, no questions. Just come back for week one. All right. Aren't you glad we don't have an AB in NO? That's all I can say. Great to be back with you after a couple of days off. Yours truly, Jordy Helberg here, Studio 1A, my main man CD, back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Root Studios. On the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Busy, busy day. Hope everybody had a great weekend. The rains are coming, and we are 12 days away from the start of the college football season for LSU and the Raging Cajuns. We got a football game this weekend, Saturday, Miami Hurricanes, Florida Gators. Remember the old wide right, wide left? They're coming back. So football is upon us. It was your last free weekend. I hope you got all your honeydews in, because for the rest of the 2019 calendar year, you've got football every weekend coming up. Yes, indeed. Fun times are here again. Astros get a win. How about Alex Bregman going 4-for-4, including a 3-run home run as they get back in the win column after losing several. Yankees with 83 wins, leading the way in the American League. The Astros at 79 wins, 7.5 games up over the Oakland Athletics. Well, we got a lot of football to talk about, and wow, 1 week. Let's just put it this way. I've never taken stock in preseason games in my life, and I won't start now. So I won't get all excited about Taysom Hill and what he did yesterday for the New Orleans Saints, and I won't get too down on Teddy Bridgewater and what he didn't do for the New Orleans Saints. There's a reason why Drew Brees is out there. There's a reason why Phillip Rivers is out there, because they're the best at what they do. Okay? They're the best at what they do. I don't get too excited because a year ago, Taysom Hill turned the ball over 4 times in a preseason game, all in 1 half. It was a disaster. Everybody in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome left that evening feeling, man, he's never going to be an NFL quarterback. much less a real contender to take over for Drew Brees one day in New Orleans? No. But in Carson, California yesterday, Taysom Hill stole the show. He did. And he put all of his vast physical abilities on full display. 11 of 15 passing for 136 yards and two touchdowns. He rushed five times for 53 yards. He made great decisions. He showed a lot of poise. He only missed one open receiver. And he showed a lot of uncanny accuracy. But it's a preseason game. Not playing against the best players out there. Not going up against the number ones that Drew Brees has to face each and every Sunday. So I'm not going to get too high on Taysom Hill. I'm not going to get too low on Teddy Bridgewater, who obviously was ill, didn't get much help along the way. And that's that. That's that. Preseason game number three coming up. And it's against the New York Jets. Now, you know who the defensive coordinator is for the New York Jets. That is one Greg Williams. You know his animosity toward Sean Payton, his relationship, maybe not the best. We all know that Greg Williams has a penchant to blitz, whether it's preseason or regular season. Just look at what the Jets did to the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan was sacked three times. He was pressured over a dozen times. Is it worth the risk to play Drew Brees at all? I say no. My suggestion, put Taysom Hill out there in the first half and let's see what he can do against the higher quality caliber players that the Jets will put out there, and let Teddy Bridgewater play in the second half. Reverse the roles. I don't need to see Drew Brees at all. Keep the man healthy. Keep him upright. Too many players are going down. Too many players being lost for the season. You don't need that. Drew, just stick on the sidelines, plain and simple. It was great to have a quarterback back for LSU. And because of that and Joe Burrow's presence, as predicted, LSU's offense certainly was a lot better in their preseason scrimmage number two. It's the last one. It's the only one, because from here on out, it's all the mental aspect of the game. The physical aspect is over and done with. Now it's time to get these players' legs back underneath them. They'll have a walkthrough simulated thing on Saturday where they basically go through substitutions. All right, it's third and 10, incompletion, time to get the kicking team, the punting team on the field. Get them out there in the time frame that's allowed. Get the punt off. Things like that, situational things, so that when the game comes, you look like you're organized and look like you know what you're doing. But the hay's in the barn. Plain and simple. So with that in mind, let's go over what we have on the guest list today, and we are jam-packed. Bob Rose will be joining us here in about the next 5 minutes to get his thoughts on the New Orleans Saints from Canal Street Chronicles. Brooks Cabana will join us after that from The Advocate to talk all things LSU. Jimmy Smith, Tiger Details. LSU gets another commitment. Corey Moore, one of the top wide receivers, the number three ranked player in the state, commits to LSU from Rummel High School. He has seen him in person. He's evaluated his film. We'll get an update from Jimmy Smith. Hour number two, Hot Topics, followed by Nick Fontenot, special writer for the Advertiser, will join us, talk all things Raging Cajuns. Producer extraordinaire Clint Domain was at the Billy Napier presser today. We'll get some thoughts on that. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated will join us each and every Monday in the 3:30 time slot to share his thoughts on all of college football. We'll close things up as we always do with a little day in history lesson in the day of sports, some birthday wishes, and that's how it goes. So that's what we've got for you and yours today. We'll cover the Saints, the Tigers, the Cajuns, and all things college football and recruiting. The AP Top 25 preseason poll is out. Clemson 1, Alabama 2, the LSU Tigers coming in at number 6. Just like they ended last season, they begin this season in the AP poll at number six. Great expectations, great possibilities, and the same holds true for the New Orleans Saints. So we'll take our first time out of the day. Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicles, gets us going on a Monday as we recap the Saints and their win over the Chargers. How about that, Taysom Hill? I'm not going to get too excited. I'm just not. But boy, he looked good, didn't he? That's next.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Look, it's always been a game of emotion and momentum, and I thought he did a really good job with that. I mean, that's real. And so quite a bit of stomp.
You know, we talk about it all the time. I think sometimes you get in training camp and they're long days and you forget, and you oftentimes have to remind yourself that we get to play, this game, and this isn't work, and it's a lot of fun to have the opportunity. Not many people get to. So having the opportunity to get on the field and play is a great opportunity. We had fun today.
How can you not just love Taysom Hill? That was Sean Payton talking about him, the energy, the emotion, it's real. And Taysom Hill just, it's a game. And he's having fun playing a game. And he sure looked good yesterday. And the Saints come from behind when it was a game of two halves. First half, second half, dramatic. And I guess what you take away from it is the Saints never gave up. And we're thrilled to have Bob Rose of Canal Street Chronicles joining us now to share his thoughts on the Saints, now with two preseason games under their belt. Bob, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Jordy. I'm really good. How about you?
I'm terrific. I've said this before, and I just want your thoughts. I really don't put a whole lot of stock in preseason games. Taysom Hill looked great. But who's he playing against? That's not the first teamer guys, right? And Teddy Bridgewater, okay, he was ill, probably shouldn't have played, but had to play. So when you evaluate, what do you look at?
Very much the same things that you do. You try to take in stock. I ignore the win loss record and what the final score of the actual games are. But I look at the players, especially the young rookies and undrafted mm-hmm. free agents trying to make the team, and see where they are fundamentally and see how they handle their individual assignments on the field. And having said that, just as you kind of opened the segment with the first half for the team and for the Saints in general was kind of so-so at best. But the group as a whole showed tremendous resiliency in the second half. They were unbothered by the momentum changing or momentum grabbing for the Chargers punt return at the end of the first half. And the group that came out in the third and fourth quarters, they just did the jobs that they were supposed to do, regardless of the team or the second, third string Chargers defense and offense that was on the field opposite from them. And I thought that that group showed us a lot for those bubble players or so-called bubble players that are trying to make mm-hmm. the team. I was really impressed with the effort in the second half.
One player that stood out to me, he's just a little mighty mite, and I thought maybe they had this guy all locked in, but Deontay Harris is certainly making a viable argument to be the return specialist on this team.
I absolutely agree, and I'll go you one step further. If Deontay Harris, as of right now, if Deontay Harris isn't on the opening day 53-man roster, then Coach Sean Payton, who of course gets paid to make these decisions while you and I do not, but he still has a lot of explaining to do to us as to why Deontay Harris would not deserve a spot on this roster. He has given the special teams unit more excitement than what we have seen probably since Michael Lewis was returning punts for the team. And I really love this kid's elusiveness and explosive ability in the open field. And he doesn't know the meaning of the word fair catch. And I realize that things would change, would be different on a situational basis and a regular season situation. But this kid is determined to carve out a niche for him on this roster. And I think he's done so as of right now.
I'm with you. I love his speed. He's that guy. The ball's in the air. You watch, you hold your breath because there's always that feeling that he's going to take one the distance. He's going to do something special with it, and they haven't had that in quite some time. Bob Rose, kind enough to join us, Canal Street Chronicles. I thought Trey Hendrickson really was a factor in the game, and he looks like they need an extra guy to put some pressure on the quarterback, and I thought he was outstanding.
Yeah, I did too. And that coming off of what I thought was a solid preseason performance in game one against Minnesota from Trey. But he took that to another level yesterday against the Chargers. We already knew that Trey could establish the edge very well against the run. But he showed us a better variety of pass rush moves, something that we didn't necessarily see from him, during his first two seasons. He's not going to be a consistent 10 to 12 sack a year guy, but they don't necessarily need that at that edge spot. They just need a guy that's going to be able to pressure the passer, much like the team got from Alex Okafor in the last 2 years. And Trey showed us that kind of ability. And I'll be honest, if the regular season had to start tomorrow, if I was Coach Payton and defensive coordinator Dennis Allen, I would probably start Trey Hendrickson over Marcus Davenport and bring in Davenport on pass rush situations.
I'm with you. Bob Rose, kind enough to join us. Offensive line, a couple of injuries here and there. How are things stacking up there depth-wise? My goodness.
I'm really worried about the depth at offensive tackle. And when you and I last spoke, we kind of each outlined a similar worry. Now, they brought in Chris Clark. I think the day you and I spoke last, now, unfortunately, Clark went down with an injury that did not look good yesterday. I haven't heard any updates on him, but a short time after that, Michael Ola, who has struggled, went down as well, which really leaves, as far as legitimate roster spots right now, Marshall Newhouse. So the depth at that spot still concerns me very, very much.
So other than the names that we've mentioned, what else did you we've got to talk about Taysom Hill. And I know it's preseason and all that, but, gosh, he's electric. He makes plays, and he's going to be in the game plan each and every week for Sean Payton to tinker around with. And I'm sure it'll change depending upon who they're playing and what kind of schemes that defense comes up with. But, boy, he is so fun to watch. I love the guy.
Yeah, how could you not? I mean, you opened the segment by saying that Taysom Hill has a legitimate love for the game, combined with his athletic ability and effort on to play in and play out. How could you not love the guy? I personally still don't think he's the next quarterback of the New Orleans Saints after Drew Brees. But you have to admire his work ethic, because even yesterday and last week against Minnesota, he looks so much more comfortable in the pocket than he did last year, when he was given some preseason reps at quarterback, which just shows his ability and football IQ to improve. And, of course, he's going to make some plays in the open field as a broken field runner. That's just who he is. But I really like, and let's face back, he did not get very good protection in front of him. But he was still comfortable. There were a few times he went through his progressions, like more than one, before he made a play. And when he moved around oftentimes not looking to run immediately, but looking to make a play in the passing game. And that shows tremendous improvement from what we saw from him last year.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I know the Saints play the New York Jets next. I saw what the Jets and Greg Williams' defense did to Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons. Do you even risk playing Drew Brees in preseason game number three?
Yeah, I think you do. Most NFL teams use this number three preseason game as sort of a dress rehearsal for their starting units. And in the past, we have seen many teams, keep those starting units even well into the third quarter. The last few years, with the number of inter-squad scrimmages that NFL teams are allowed to have now. We won't see that many reps from the starting units, but as long as Brees has his number one offensive line in front of him, Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara to make plays, I do think you trot Brees out there for at least a quarter, even against the Greg Williams defense, because it's a good test for the season opener.
All right, so in summation, the Saints win. They showed a lot of determination. In fact, in the fact that they didn't quit, they kept battling, they kept fighting. Is anything clearer today than it was a week ago at this time as far as some of the position battles are concerned?
Not really, to be honest with you, not in my viewpoint.
I agree.
You mentioned Trey Hendrickson, and I thought Wes Horton had a really solid game at defensive end, too. So I think the defensive end position I feel a little bit more comfortable about. The front seven for that Saints defense in particular is going to be tremendous this year. But that secondary and the backup offensive line are two spots that continue to concern me until they show otherwise. And thus far, they haven't. Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis and Pete Carmichael are going to have some really tough decisions to make at backup receiver spots, too. Cyril Grayson continues to show me, on his limited number of touches, continues to show me some electricity in the open field. Like you mentioned, they're going to have to figure out a way to keep Deontay Harris on the roster. But Lil Jordan Humphrey and Emmanuel Butler have made good cases for them in practice, too. But we didn't see anybody really separate themselves at backup wide receiver either. Divine Ozebo, I've always liked as a running back since they inked him right after the draft. I think that the Saints may have to find a way to keep an extra running back on the roster, because Divine is not going to slip through waivers onto the practice squad. But still a lot of questions. I am looking forward to seeing, how the top units and number two unit, responds against Greg Williams and that aggressive Jets defense next week.
He's Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicles. Love having you on, buddy. Thank you so much for your time, as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
I love being on with you guys. Thank you so much for bringing me in, Jordy.
You're absolutely welcome. It is our thrill. Bob Rose, kind enough to join us. That's the take on the New Orleans Saints. In case you're keeping score, one up, one down, lost to the Vikings, beat the Chargers. Doesn't matter. The Jets are up next. Speaking of up next, we'll get the very latest from Tiger Town. Brooks Cabina of The Advocate, Coach O, and the offense respond after scrimmage number one. Nice to have the quarterback back. We'll have that story next here on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Humpert Show on 103.7 The Game.
You know, last time we had situations, we had team run, we had third down. We went straight into game mode today. And, last scrimmage, we'd go 10 plays, and then it'd be out. This play, we're in just like game this time. If they go three and out, they're out, and we flip the field. So that's the situation they're willing to run it, just like a game without the punting in between.
Ed Ogeron talking about the difference between preseason scrimmage number one and preseason scrimmage number two, which took place on this past Saturday. And that's basically all you're going to get, because next Saturday it's kind of a walkthrough, helmets only, and they're just going to go through their substitution patterns so that when the game comes, everybody knows where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be, and when how to get on the field and off the field. Let's get the latest from Tiger Town. Brooks Cabina, kind enough to join us from The Advocate. He's been interviewing players all day and watching practices, and Brooks is kind enough to join us. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Ready for football. It's about less than 2 weeks, so we're getting there.
Yeah, by this time next week, it'll be the Coach O luncheon, and it'll be all things dictated to Georgia Southern. So Kind of a haze in the barn, right? I mean, they better know by now who is and who isn't, right?
Well, I mean, you still got some position battles inside linebackers there, and out on the offensive line, it seems like they've started to fill out their rotation, at least at the starting position. But, you know, they still need to figure out what the rotation is at the second team. So there's still some places on this team that they need to figure out before week one gets going.
They held Clyde Edwards-Helaire out on purpose, and the goal was to get some of their freshman running backs some carries, John Emery and Davis Price. What did those say about them? What was the lowdown on how they fared under game-like situations?
Well, you know, they played pretty well. I mean, John Emery had 11 attempts for 68 yards and had a long of 36, and Tyron Davis had 13 attempts for 20 yards. So, you know, it shows that, you know, he was more used in short yardage and goal line, which was part of what they were working on Saturday. But, you know, they played well. It seems like the running backs, day-to-day, even in practices, you'll see certain guys taking a day off and then coming back the next day, and the next guy will come. And it seems like they're really rotating them in the ways that they might use them throughout the season. Is, you know, they've got a deep pool of running backs, and Ogeron knows that, and getting them a chance to just see what they can do day-to-day and scrimmage-to-scrimmage. But it looked like that was the day to see what the freshmen could really do. And, you know, John Emery has been one of those guys that we've wondered how good he is as a, you know, all-purpose mm-hmm. back, because with the new system that they're running, and it sounds like he played particularly well on Saturday. So it's interesting to see from the running backs, and, you know, they're getting pretty close to what they sound like game ready.
Can you excuse my ignorance, but can you help me out? Do we call him Davis, or do we call him Davis Price? What do we call him?
Davis Price is what he's listed on the main roster, so that's what I'm going with.
Okay, Davis Price. So we got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and we've got Tyrion Davis-Price. All right, I just want to make sure about that. The good news, I guess, Coach O talked about some of the players that weren't there, Kalevon Chaisson, Christian Fulton, Grant Delpit. He said if we had to play today, they would have played. So that tells me they're really close.
Yeah, I was just talking to Kalevon Chaisson about, you know, 30 minutes ago about the injuries and, you know, where they're at, and they sat out on Saturday, and he said, you know, just because we weren't playing wasn't because we weren't taking mental reps at all. I mean, this isn't like the spring where, you know, if you play and then get bumped up again, you have all summer to recover. It's really just, you know, take it safe than sorry. Go out there, and if you're not fully recovered, then, you know, sit out and come back, and we'd rather have you fully prepared and 100% for game time than getting you out during some practices where, I mean, let's face it, all three of these guys are going to start. It's not like they have anything to figure out whether they have to compete or not, and it's far more important for them to be ready and healthy than to scrimmage in those games. And honestly, it seems like the replacements there that they've had in those scrimmages was good rest to figure out who mm-hmm. can come in and provide some depth. I mean, there were plenty of times last year, especially in the secondary, where they had to find new gaps. I mean, we're not that far removed from the Fiesta Bowl, where they had essentially, you know, all of their defensive backs out in that game. So, I think that's what Chaisson was talking about, was seeing the guys like, you know, Andre Anthony and Ray Thornton that came in and played in his place, and they're starting to figure out the defense. And I mean, even with starters being in the game, Dave Aranda is going to be using these guys, flipping around. I think that was one of the most interesting things that came out of today, was just realizing how much these guys are switching and rotating. I mean, every day I'm going to go to practice right in about an hour, and I mean, you'll see even the safeties too. Like, Grant Delpit is called a strong safety, but I mean, it really depends on where he goes.
Right.
We've seen him sub in for Kerry Vincent last week at nickel, and, you know, it doesn't really seem like he's going to play nickel, but Todd Harris and Jacoby Stevens are still in there. So, you know, just because, you know, certain guys are starters, I think this defense is going to be very, very multiple in what it does this year.
Yeah, I mean, Grant Delpit's not coming off the field. Brooks Cabina of The Advocate, kind enough to join us. We know Cardell Thomas is going to have surgery. Offensive tackle Thomas Perry may have to have some surgery as well. I'm very, still very, very concerned about this offensive line, the depth. They've got a lot of players that are going to have to play multiple positions. Man, what's the latest lowdown on that?
Well, to replace Cardell, Anthony Bradford, another true freshman who was recruited as an offensive tackle, he's flipped into guard as of last week. He was playing right guard in place of some positions on the right side with Damian Lewis out. Damian Lewis is going to return. A couple of players, offensive lineman that we're talking today, said he just has some ankle issues. He'll be back. So right guard is going to be taken care of. But left guard, Adrian McGee, is there. He was talking to us today, and he played some of that last year, and he played throughout the spring, so he's prepared. It's really the depth. So without Cardell, who's going to be there? And it looks like if Chesson Hines gets ready, then he'll be around to help out with the depth. But Anthony Bradford's the big name that moved inside. Ogeron said he's more suited there right now, but I mean, they really wanted him to play tackle. They had some depth issues there last year. So right now it's just all hands on deck where the guards are, and it seems like him and Donovan Campbell, another guy who rotated in last year, are all there to kind of help out with the depth. So that's one of the bigger storylines going into week one and two.
And I hate to say this, knock on wood, Lori Cushenberry is fantastic, but if he gets hurt, who's the backup there?
Things get pretty interesting. Charles Turner, he's a true freshman right now, but sitting right around 260. He's not exactly at the weight or size or experience that they would want to throw him into a game at that point. We've seen Hines take snaps at center, and if he's healthy and ready to go, I would expect that he would be the guy that they would throw in first. It just depends on his health, but they may have no other choice. We've seen things like that be flipped around, but they're just they don't have a lot there. So that would be my guess. If Hines is available, he would there be taking snaps.
Brooks Cabana, kind enough to join us for must-read material for The Advocate. He covers the Tigers day in and day out. Quarterback play, Burrow was back. Miles Brennan got a lot of play. Coach O seemed to be pleased. He said, I'm pleased with the passing game and where it is right here, right now. So you must like what his quarterbacks are giving him.
Yeah, the stats that he gave out, which are interesting, 100 yards apart and even numbers, so take that for what you will. Miles Brennan's always been known to throw some deep balls, and they like where he's at. Joe Burrow, the offense is running smoothly with him. And tomorrow, shameless plug here, our Advocate preseason special. We have a magazine insert every week, and it's coming out. There's a Joe Burrow cover story, and there's a lot that'll go into that, just how comfortable he is in this offense. He's been running the run-pass option ever since high school, and there's a big part of this in this story where, last year Joe Burrow was given a lot of trust as the year went on. Remember, he had some audibles to check in and out of, and by the end of the year, I think it had a lot to do with why they went to the system that they're running right now. If you go into high school, that's the same thing. When he showed up as a sophomore and started then, they ran like five passing routes. That was it, and two run plays. They kept it very, very simple. But by the time he was a senior, they found that he was so smart that they just threw as much complicated stuff as they could. I mean, they were running college pro-style run-pass option schemes, and he was being able to audible and call off plays and make reads and all that. So, I mean, this is a guy who's very prepared, and it's clear and evident from talking to the receivers and the offensive line that he's really in the groove and ready to go for this game this season.
He is Brooks Cabana of The Advocate coming out tomorrow. Gotta go get one. It's got the preview special on the Tigers. I see the AP poll came out. The Tigers are ranked number 6, kind of where they finished last season. So everybody's buying into the Tigers, and the hype is for real.
I mean, hype or no hype, this is a team that finished in the top 10 last year, and they've got the talent to make a run. This is the best team that Ogeron's had in his tenure, and all the pieces are seemingly there. We talked about some of the offensive line issues, but if a lot of guys come back healthy, Damian Lewis and some of the others on the outside, then if they all play healthy, then that should be as fine as well. But yeah, this is my first year. I'm going to be voting in the AP Top 25. I'm one of the 62 in the country to do it. There's some pressure on that, but I'm privileged to have the opportunity. And that's really where I put LSU. I put them at number 6, Florida right behind them. But I mean, I couldn't really see a way to put them in the top five yet, but, I mean, they've got these games. Texas coming up week two. I had them at 9, mm-hmm. and the poll, they are 10. So throughout this year, they have five teams that are in the top 25, and four of them are in the top 10, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So it's tough as always, and they'll find their way towards the top, and it's always going to be, you know, Alabama there. If they're as good as a lot of people think they are, that could be a top five matchup again.
If they take care of their business, it certainly will be. Brooks, thanks for taking care of your business every day, buddy. I greatly appreciate it. We always look forward to talking to you, and congrats on being an AP voter. That's they don't give those just to anybody, so you've earned it. Congratulations, and keep voting with your mind and your heart, all right?
Hey, I appreciate it, Jordy, and I can't wait until next time because we'll actually be talking about real football.
Yes, we will do that. Yes, indeed. Well, we'll probably get you before that, leading up to it. But regardless, we always look forward to talking to you, buddy. So thank you very much.
All right, I'll see you. You have a good one.
You too, Bruce Cabina. That brought to you by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. Fantasy football, there's only one place to go, and that's Hooters. Right there on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway, newly renovated, ready to rock and roll for you and yours. Hooters just makes you happy. We got another Hold That Tiger, Ed Orgeron, with 23 commitments. It's always good when you can keep the best in state in town. And we'll get an update from Jimmy Smith on the newest commitment for the Tigers next.
Who's got game and who's the next big thing at LSU? Jordy Hultberg will set you straight on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
First of all, I want to thank everybody that showed up to my party, my family in the back. I just love everyone. And thank God Almighty. I'm a Tiger. Yeah!
That's commitment number 23 for the 2020 class for LSU as wide receiver Coy Moore of Archbishop Rummel gave his verbal pledge to the Tigers. It was on his birthday. Jimmy Smith from Tiger Details. We call him Jimmy Detail. Kind enough to join us to give us the information we need to know on Coy Moore. Jimmy, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jordy. Thanks for having me, brother.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're thrilled to have you. You've seen Coy Moore. What I remember, he was committed to USC at one point in time, decommitted, and now he's a Tiger. What you've watched him play in person. You studied and evaluated him on tape. Describe Coy Moore to me, please.
Very, very skilled wide receiver. Very efficient, reliable guy. Extremely good hands, reliable hands, very strong hands, very good in traffic, well ahead of the curve for most prospects his age. You know, he's a guy that could probably come in and step in early as a slot receiver and compete for a starting job if need be. He doesn't have some of the top-end speed of some other guys, but LSU's looking for an assortment and a wide array of types at the wide receiver position, be a little more versatile in that group. And Coy Moore, with his skill set and his reliable hands and his route running ability, gives them a really good piece in what is probably the nation's premier wide receiver haul this year in the 2020 class.
James Smith, Tiger Details. I've got to ask the obvious question. LSU's got a budding star this year. Everybody thinks he's going to be the breakout star, and that's Jamar Chase, also from Rummel High School. Take me back to Jamar Chase. At the same time that Coy Moore is now, how do you compare and contrast the two?
Yeah. I mean, really, it's a interesting comparison because they're both about 6 foot tall. You know, size, Jamar Chase is thicker, a little more muscular than Coy Moore. Coy might be a little longer armed, but Coy Moore is probably a little more skilled and polished at this same time. They both had great hands, were reliable in traffic. Both have tremendous ability to track a ball downfield and have great body control and can make the acrobatic acrobatic catches on 50-50 balls. They both, have some of that. Clay Moore's good after the catch. Jamar Chase is great after the catch, which is why they think he'll be able to excel this year in LSU's new RPO offense, getting the ball in his hands early and letting him create. Quite different, even though they're somewhat similar body types in that they're both 6 foot tall. They bring something different to the table, and this kind of goes to giving LSU that blend of the different wide receiver types they're looking for. So they want to run tempo, you're going to see more rotation at the wide receiver position once they develop the depth they want, and this kind of allows them to do that.
Jimmy, a lot of people will say, why another wide receiver? Boy, LSU needs some offensive linemen. What's your counterattack to that?
Yeah, I mean, you need a lot of wide receivers. I mean, when Oregon and Texas A&M and those teams had prolific, high-tempo offenses, they had 16, 18 guys on scholarship at the wide receiver position. LSU's just trying to maintain 12. They've had guys switch position like Manny Netherly. Stephon Sullivan's now a tight end. He's on his way to the NFL likely next year. Justin Jefferson could leave early. They only really signed one pure receiver in last year's class, and Trey Palmer, who's been phenomenal, by the way, Jordy, since returning from a little injury during the offseason. And so they really need to add four in this class, if you ask me. I think that was the right number coming in. That's kind of what I projected them to be. And it just seems fitting. I think they need those type of quality receivers to provide them depth and the blend of youth and experience teams really need as they try to replace guys as they move forward to the NFL.
Sounds good to me. 23, that leads in a perfect world, if you get all of those to stay and honor their commitment, you got two spots left. In your perfect world, how does LSU fill those last two spots?
They really need a little bit more on that offensive line. Marcus Dumervil, a guy out of St. Thomas Aquinas Powerhouse School down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. They've been digging on him for a while. They thought at one point they might be close to getting a commitment. He kind of pulled back on his recruiting a bit. They're in it with Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Florida. That's a real four-team battle, so it's hard to say that they have a great chance at this point, but they're still in the mix for him. Jacoby and Guillory, another defensive lineman. This is a great defensive line class. They needed a lot of quality guys. Jacoby and Guillory from Alexandria is a phenomenal prospect, one they're digging in deep on. He doesn't plan on making his commitment until December, so they have some time to go here, but it's going to be them in Alabama. I would think those two pieces ideally would go into the trenches. But beyond those numbers, if Jacoby and Guillory went to Alabama and Marcus Dumervil goes elsewhere, they're hard-pressed to try to find another guy in the trenches to fill those spots. So now, if they were to miss on either of those guys, I could see them maybe moving towards a safety, adding another running back in this class. They're hoping they can get Zach Evans now. So if they were to get everyone they wanted in the perfect world, then they'd have to do some roster and some number adjustments on available scholarships because they can only sign 25. So there's a lot of support, and these are what those guys get paid big money to juggle all the time. It's not as simple as it looks like. Those are the best players in the country. Go get them. You have to have plan B, C, D, and you have to be prepared in case your former plan A starts to get a cold feet over there. I mean, there's a lot going on that these coaches have to prepare for in the recruiting trail. Yeah.
One thing, recruiting, very, very fluid. So you may see some names resurface and some changes come across the board. But Coy Moore, always good, right? He's in your backyard. He's in your state. He's one of the top prospects in the state. That's a great get overall, correct?
Big get. Big get. They just keep those fences up around the state of Louisiana. You had schools like USC, Florida, Oregon, all on them, recruiting them pretty hard, and they were able to fend them all off and bring them into the class. So always a big get when you're able to land one of the top prospects in Louisiana for LSU.
For all your recruiting needs, Tiger Details, Jimmy Smith and his crew, they do a tremendous job. JD, thank you so much. As always, my friend, you're the best.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Jordy.
All right, there you go. There's the Saints and the Tigers. As we wrap up our number one, still to come, hot topics, the Cajuns, and all things college football. Busy second hour.
Live.
from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
Hour two of two, and away we go on this Monday, August 19th, the year 2019. We're brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets. There's always a discount going on each and every day. Over 60 ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets throughout southern and central Louisiana. Why? Because they offer everything under the sun. I'm a convenient shopper. I love ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets. Saints win. Taysom Hill was the star of the show against the L.A. Chargers. It means nothing. Coach O had preseason scrimmage number two, and he thinks that there are still some position battles to be won. All right. Busy second hour planned for you and yours. We'll hear from Billy Napier, and Nick Fontenot of the Advertiser will join us in this hour to talk about the Raging Cajuns. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated will join us each and every Monday in the 3:30 time slot to share his thoughts on the world of college football. So without further ado, we do it every day at this time of day. Let's take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, let's see if we can hit that button now.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, we're getting closer and closer to the start of football, real football. We got the Hurricanes and the Gators this weekend, so full steam ahead. Did you enjoy your last weekend, Clint, without football, real football?
Without real football, I enjoyed it. Didn't do quite a whole heck of a lot. Mind you, did catch the UFC 241, possibly one of the best cards I've seen in a long, long time. Mind you, ended on a sour note with DC losing in the fourth round. Yeah. Knockout, definitely disappointing.
It's all part of the plan. He'll come back. He'll win the next one. It's all part of the plan. Come on.
I love how you're putting it that way, Jordy. That is fantastic. But of course, I think we got to kind of start off with what everybody has been talking about over the course of the weekend, namely the last 24 hours. And that was Mike Mayock talking about AB needs to either be all in or all out, seemingly taking a page out of David Griffin's playbook. But my question to you is this, Jordy: has the Antonio Brown saga it feels like Mike Mayock, if he wound up having the big ordeal with him on Sunday, he should have been like, you know what, we're done with him.
They're not done with him. He'll be playing come week one. He's too important to them. They've invested a lot of money in him. He will be there. There's no way that Antonio Brown's going to give up the $32 million guaranteed dollars in front of him. That's not going to happen. It just sounded like Mike Mayock was an old school from the 80s GM. You put your line in the sand and let's go. Look, he doesn't need to practice right now. He doesn't. He knows what he's doing. He'll be fine. He'll show up. He'll be there. I just don't understand the helmet situation. I'm sorry. If all these other wide receivers can wear it and play with it, why can't you? I just don't get it. His drama is off the cliff, but the Raiders knew exactly what they were getting. They saw this habit before with the Steelers and his sideline antics. They knew exactly what they were in for. So don't act all surprised, Mike Mayock, all in or all out, please. You knew exactly what you were getting. He's a diva, but he's a diva who can catch passes and get in the end zone, and that's why you wanted him. So be quiet, and let's see what happens when they tee it up for real. And I promise you, Antonio Brown will find a helmet. His cryotherapy feet will be healed, and the Raiders will be smiling because AB is getting open and he's catching passes.
All right, Jordy, I absolutely love it. But, of course, I think we need to move back over to the world of college football for a moment because the AP preseason poll came out earlier today. The LSU Tigers, as mentioned earlier, are sixth. But I think really it feels crazy to say that only four SEC teams in the top ten feels a lot more balanced a little bit, at least from my point of view. Texas rounds out the top ten, so definitely a lot of hype heading into the season for that Week 2 matchup.
A lot of projections based upon how the season ended a year ago. I guarantee you if Texas hadn't beaten Georgia in that Sugar Bowl, they wouldn't be in the top 10. But good for them. It's all great enthusiasm and build up for their respective schools. Florida gets out the gate. They're right behind LSU in the poll. Alabama's battling Clemson. Clemson's number one. It adds to the hype of college football, and that's great. And we'll see how it all settles down the road. That's, look, if LSU takes care of their business with the schedule that they play, they'll be right there in the hunt at the end when it counts. And that's all you can hope for. So they're thought of highly going in. They have a rigorous schedule they have to play. If they take care of their business, that LSU-Alabama game could be two top five teams battling out for supremacy. So we'll see.
Oh, exactly, Jordy. Definitely going to be something just to kind of look at heading into the season. But LSU's starting the season off preseason ranked number six across the board is definitely intriguing. But now we're going to flip it on over to what happened yesterday between the Saints and the Los Angeles Chargers. Teddy Bridgewater, not exactly his best showing. Sean Payton mentioned that he came down with some stuff a couple days ago, but still was able to kind of tough it out. Sean Payton regretted doing so, but I got to ask you, Jordy, obviously right now it's Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill battling out for QB2, but who do you think has the edge heading into that penultimate preseason game?
You know, it's here's what I would do. I don't need Drew Brees playing in preseason games. I don't. I know preseason game number three is when they play their starters. Greg Williams is the defensive coordinator for the New York Jets. He hates Sean Payton, despises him. He'd love nothing better. And just ask Matt Ryan how he feels today after playing the Jets in preseason game number two. They sacked him three times. He had about 10 quarterback hurries and pressures. You don't need that with Drew Brees. So if it were me, I would flip-flop it. Okay, Taysom, you've earned the right. You start the game, and we'll play Teddy Bridgewater in the second half. Look, all these guys are going up against guys that 60% of them aren't even going to make the team. They're going to be out of the league. So I never get too high about a player nor too low about a player when it comes to preseason games. We all know when the season starts, neither one of them are going to be playing quarterback unless it's Taysom Hill and he's going to be running an option play or doing something along those lines. Teddy Bridgewater ain't going to get in any games this year, knock on wood, unless something drastic happens. So I don't get too concerned about it. I really don't. Are either one of those the quarterback of the future of the Saints? If I had to bet today a Diet Coke, I'd say no.
And
a quarterback out there that they got to go get.
I definitely feel like that's a good point of view to kind of look at things going forward, Jordy. But, of course, some news just kind of popped up a couple hours ago. This kind of slipped my mind when I was putting together the hot topics. But Ezekiel Elliott's agent, not exactly a big fan of Jerry Jones's joke in referring to the star running back, saying, Zeke who? Could wind up being a little bit of trouble in paradise, and maybe, just maybe, we see Zeke Elliott out the door before long.
Jerry's going to pay him. He wants to win a Super Bowl. There's owners out there that only they just look at the bottom line. How much money can I make? Jerry Jones wants to win, and he knows with Ezekiel Elliott, he has a chance to win. He'll be there playing for the big star. I guarantee it when the regular season starts.
And I'd have to agree with you a little bit, Jordy. And of course, here's something really cool before we wrap up. The NBA rookie survey came out. This year, obviously, you have Zion Williamson, the favorite, according to all these rookies, to win Rookie of the Year. But I got to ask you about this, Jordy. This is more about the best career. And the rookie selected 19%. I think everybody's surprised at this, Jordy. It is Cam Reddish. Do you think he winds up panning out and having a really good career compared to, obviously, his teammates Zion Williamson, I feel like, is the guy everybody's going to be looking at as a guy that's going to wind up having a really good career.
Cam Reddish was kind of the third option of the three. R.J. Barrett, number two. Zion, number one. He's got NBA size. He's got NBA ball handling skills and shooting skills. I think he got lost in the shuffle at Duke. I'm still going with Zion. I just think he is a one-of-a-kind, rarefied type of a player. So I'm going to go with Zion at number one. And Cam Reddish, good luck to you.
That's all I got for today, Jordy.
Okay. Oh, all right. Very good. Very good. Saints didn't quit, did they? I mean, right? They, you know, it doesn't really count, but at least they came from behind and won the game. I was screaming, come on, let's go. I love to win. I don't care if it's tiddlywinks. I just love to win, so I'm glad the Saints got their win. You went to Billy Napier's press conference. Anything exciting that Billy had to say?
I mean, nothing like incredibly exciting. The only real big thing that was talked about was the fact that Chase Rogers, who has just gotten a lot of bad beats with injuries, injured his foot again. So that could wind up. Oh, that's probably going to wind up knocking him out for the year, along with a lot of other tight ends who are getting banged up. Hunter Bergeron with an ankle tweak. It looks like he could probably miss a couple days. Johnny Lumpkin could miss a significant amount of time. Not exactly a good time to be a tight end for the Raging Cajuns right now.
Yeah, okay. We'll get a full report coming up next. Nick Fontenot writes for the Advertiser. Everything you want to know about the Raging Cajuns and then some as they await their opener in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The Mississippi State Bulldogs heading down from Starkville. Be a great crowd in the Superdome for that one. We'll have that report next here. The Jordy Helpert Show, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Come on back.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from The Jordy Helpert Show. Live and local, 1037 The Game.
Then we need a second tier of players to emerge, you know, that needs to continue to improve. And this is not something that will resolve in a couple of days. I think this is going to be ongoing. We've got lots of young players that are in position to help our team, and we're going to need those guys to make progress as the season goes on.
That was Billy Napier just not very long ago at all today talking about, look, his first unit he's very pleased with. He thought they looked great, but needs that depth, needs a second unit to emerge that they can count on and not be afraid to put into games. And the Cajuns get into the frying pan a dozen days from today when they travel to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome to take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Nick Fontenot is our Raging Cajun reporter. He writes for The Advertiser, and he's kind enough to join us now. Good afternoon, Nick. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Jordy, I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing terrific. I appreciate the time. So give me the latest. What and what you're hearing from the coaches and the players after scrimmage number two, counting it down to the opener, where are the Cajuns right now?
I think they're in a pretty good spot. I think the scrimmage went well. Obviously, it was closed to us, so we couldn't watch it. But from what Billy Napier told us today, everything went well. The quarterbacks did a little bit better job of, holding on to the football and taking care of it, which was something that was a bit of a question mark after the first scrimmage. So they did a little bit better with that. The main story that came out of it was the injury to tight end Chase Rogers, who has just been hampered with foot injuries. He also had a shoulder injury that he had surgery from. And he's just a really tough competitor that it seems like the whole team kind of rallied around him being able to get back on the field. He'd been working really hard to get back on there, and then he broke his foot in the scrimmage, and so he's going to be out for the year. And you can tell when Napier told us about the injury, the look on his face was not the normal look on a coach's face when he announces an injury. It seemed like it meant a little more to the team because they were all rallying around Chase. So it's going to take a little while to get over that one for the team. But overall, I think they had a lot of positives that came out of the scrimmage.
With Chase Rogers out, Nick Fontenot kind enough to join us. Is there someone else that's that they feel comfortable in and that is ready to go to fill in that void?
It's gonna take a lot because they have a ton of injuries at the tight end spot. They, you know, the Johnny Lumpkin is gonna miss some significant time. Also, Bergeron is gonna miss a couple of games. So he actually mentioned that this might be the most injuries to one position that he's ever experienced in his career. But they do have a guy coming in from Arizona State. Of course, we know Napier comes from Arizona State. He was a coach over there. And, right. They have a graduate transfer named Nick Ralston. He is going to be a fifth-year senior, 1 year of eligibility with the Cajuns. But he comes in very familiar with the system, and he also comes in with their leadership, being an older guy. So he's going to be relied on heavily now. And Napier even said, you know, it becomes very important that we got the guy. You know, they brought him in because he was familiar with them and he was probably going to get a lot of playing time, but now he's going to become a critical part of the offense. So it's very good that they have Ralston from Arizona State. And, you know, we have a couple other guys that's going to be coming in. They moved a freshman defensive end that may not have got much playing time. His name is Damani Burrell. Okay. He may not have got much playing time on defense. He's just an overall good kid, so they moved him over to offense to get some depth. So they have a few guys in the room that can play, but Chase Rogers is going to be a tough loss.
Sorely missed. Nick Fontenot of The Advertiser. You can follow him on Twitter at The Nick Fontenot. So be sure you follow him on the Twitter world. You wrote a story on, and I'm very interested in this. Everybody wants playing time. Everybody wants the football. You got three running backs. How do they all coexist, and are they really as close to one another and want to see each other succeed as much as they profess?
It surely seems genuine, and it's funny you mentioned that because Raymond Colley was in at the press conference today, and he kind of spoke on that where, you know, they're all hanging out together. And it's not just the three guys. It's not just Mitchell and Regis and Colley. It's the whole running back room. When they go eat dinner, they're all eating together. They're all hanging out with each other on the weekends. And I think a lot of it has to do with Jabbar Jalouk, who's the running back's coach. I mean, that guy is just well-respected around college football, and he resonates with them, and they really hang on every word that he says, and he's a very positive role model and influence for the whole running back room. And so those guys, they know what each other is capable of. They trust each other with the ball. They know that, you know, in order for them to stay healthy, they need the other guys to be good because they don't want to be run 25, 30 times a game. If they can stay healthy, it helps the team overall. And I think that their relationship off the field is legitimately good.
Nick Fontenot of The Advertiser. Have things calmed down? I was off toward the end of last week and didn't really get to address it. But with the Coach Napier, you know, saying it's not mandatory, but we'd sure like for you to contribute to the RCAF, $50. What, has that calmed down a little bit?
Yeah, it has. And I think the problem is that, you know, Coach misspoke. Because whenever he came out to us, this was last Wednesday, to the press conference when he said, right. He said that it was going to be mandatory. And that was the issue. And it was just a situation where he misspoke. It was never a mandatory thing. He was never forcing players to do it. You know, Raymond Colley actually told us today it wasn't something that he came out and said, you guys are gonna, you know, contribute. It was one of those things where, you know, if you can, if you want to, just kind of helping them to understand what goes in to the cost of running the program, the cost of their scholarships, the cost of the facilities. I mean, UL has probably the best facilities in the Sun Belt, and they would probably rival most of the Group of Five schools as far as the facilities, just the indoor facilities and the overall money that goes into the program. And he was just basically saying, look, this is what goes into the program. If you guys feel like you want to, you know, maybe give back and kind of have that sense of gratitude that, you know, that he felt like his team needed. So I think a lot of the stuff has died down. I think he corrected himself because he said mandatory, but it wasn't mandatory. It was just one of those miscommunication things. But, yeah, I think a lot of it has died down nationally.
Speaking of mandatory, do you think that the Raging Cajuns are going to ask, are going to mandate physical exams for the coaching staffs on campus as well?
Yeah, I heard about that. Actually, I think Tim Buckley had wrote a story about that. So, yeah, I mean, everybody needs to be healthy, you know. It's not definitely
not
a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing, and I think it promotes physical health across the board, not just the players. I mean, you always hear coaches saying, this guy came in overweight and this guy might not be playing because he has a few pounds to lose. You know, why not do it for the coaches? Because the coaches are a little older and maybe they don't work out as much as they should. So, having them have to have those physicals just creates an overall sense of health for the team. And I think it can only trickle down to the players as well. So I think it's a good idea. I think everybody should have to do it.
I'm in total agreement across the board. Err on the side of caution at all times. With that being said, there's a football senior whose family has to recover from a fire. How's that kid holding up, and what's UL trying to do to help?
Yeah, we talked to him. His name's Benny Higgins. And I'll be honest with you, he was pretty shaken up. I mean, he was trying to stay positive. He talked to us today at the press conference, trying to stay positive, trying to say all the right things. But you can tell he's been shaken up. And from what I understand, the community has really come out in droves and supported him, really offering him anything he may need. And, he has a couple of children who are with his mother in Mississippi. And that was the one thing that everybody was kind of emphasizing, is that, everything that he lost was material. And while you go through that and it's tough and maybe he lost some things that are irreplaceable, nobody was injured, there was no loss of life, and that's the most important thing you can take away from a tragedy when you go through it, is that everybody remained safe, his children remained safe, his godparents that were there, they got out safely. And most of those things, most of those material things, they can be replaced over time, but it's just nice that everybody remained safe and the community has kind of come out to help him out. So like I said, he was shaken up, but I think in the end, he's going to come out okay.
Nick Fontenot of the Advertiser, we look forward to talking to you throughout this college football season as you bring us the latest info on the Raging Cajuns. Again, 12 days from today, they'll kick it off against the Mississippi State Bulldogs in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Nick will be there. We greatly appreciate your time, buddy. Thank you.
Always enjoy it, Jordy. Thank you very much.
All right, you take care. That's Nick Fontenot of the Advertiser. Follow him on Twitter at the Nick Fontenot. We'll have him each and every Monday. Also coming up each and every Monday, we'll go around the college football world with my good friend Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. Ross joins us next here. Brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. You can't shop right at ShopRite? Man, you can't shop right at all. Come on back.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
Well, his career has jettisoned to national stardom. He writes about college football for Sports Illustrated and at SI Now. And we're thrilled to get him. We're going to get him on Mondays to kind of get his thoughts on the world of college football. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, kind enough to join us. Hey, superstar, how's life up in the great Northeast?
it's good, Jordy. I'm enjoying living that big city life in the middle of D.C., although I'm not home as much lately as football season revs up. I'm kind of all over the place, man. I just got back from the craziest probably six weeks of my career. I think I was in eight different cities in about 6 weeks. So it was wild.
I bet that a lot of people want to get involved in your business. They love sports. They want to write about sports. It's fun. It's not as glamorous as maybe people profess it to be. So what's your synopsis of the world that you're in?
Well, it's certainly a changing one. The internet has obviously changed everything in our lives, and it certainly changed my industry. It's a 24-hour news cycle now. So the whole days of, I'm going to finish up this lunch and then write this breaking news story for the tomorrow's paper is no more. The cycle is 24 hours, 7 days a week. And you're always working. So, you know, there's just is a lot that has changed in the industry. Obviously, you know, the state of journalism is in an interesting era because of not just our president and his comments, but just the internet and what it's done to local journalism. It's kind of unfortunate, but we march on and kind of carry the banner as well, you know, as much and as well as we can.
Look, I had a lot of frequent flyer points when I was doing NBA games, and I gave them away because the last thing I wanted to do when it was over was hop back on a bird. So if you got any extras, send them my way, okay?
I will.
What are your biggest, Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, kind enough to join us. We've got football this weekend, finally. They're playing for keeps. The Hurricanes of Miami, the Gators of Florida, trying to gain that rivalry back again and get some interest. But as we head into this season, you've been all over the place. What are some of the storylines that are intriguing you the most?
Well, certainly that is one. You know, and I'll be down there in Orlando to see that game against Florida Miami. Pretty excited about that one. You know, there's been a lot of buzz this offseason about both of those programs, most of it positive with Miami and Manny Diaz taking over, and they've done well at the transfer portal. They filled some holes. There seems to be a lot of excitement. And then Florida, in a way, it's kind of the opposite. They are really highly ranked. There's a lot of expectations there, but they've obviously had a lot of off-season issues when it comes to arrests and dismissals and things like that. So, but they have a solid defense that returns most of their starters, maybe as many as 8 or 9, I believe, on that defense return. So they'll be pretty salty. You know, it's just for Florida, you know, can Felipe Franks do it consistently? You know, we saw it at the end of last season. He looked good the last 4 games. He's probably not had a 4-game stretch as good as that in his career in college, and that's what we have to see more of, I think. I think that's what everybody's kind of waiting on. If Felipe is consistent week to week, I think Florida can absolutely be a contender. They've got a good enough defense, good enough defensive coordinator to do it. So this will be a big test for them. It'll be a big game, man. You know, SEC versus ACC, which really, in a lot of ways, has been as far as national championships goes, has been the two dominant forces the last, you know, the playoff era.
Mm-hmm. No question. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, kind enough to join us. If you were, the AP poll came out, LSU ranked number 6 in the preseason poll, just as they finished last year, ranked number 6. Are you sold on the Tigers this year? If not, why not?
I think 6 is about right. You know, in between the 6 and 8 range, you know, that team that is that finishes in that range is usually, you know, 10-2, you know, 11-2, 10-3, something like that. And that feels like when you look at LSU's schedule and you look at their talent coming back and stuff, that feels about right. You know, they have the big game on the road at Texas, and they have the big game on the road at Alabama. You know, their two toughest games are, unfortunately, for LSU on the road. So those are going to be tough. Mm-hmm. And we'll know a lot about LSU and a lot about Texas after that game, for sure. That's one of the big early season matchups. You know, we just talked about Florida and their quarterback issues. You know, it seems like LSU, you know, has a guy that has that consistency and has shown that consistency. Yeah. With Joe Burrow, I think the next question is, can he take it beyond just being kind of the consistent guy?
Average.
You know, can he blow it up, right? Can he blow up, you know, can he pass for 5 touchdowns and over 300 yards, you know, every other game or something? And that's what, you know, LSU's changing their offense. They're doing all this stuff with no huddle and fast pace and, no, you know, empty backfield, 5 wide receivers. They're saying they're going to throw it around a lot, and I'll believe it when I see it, just because we've heard it for so many seasons, so many years now. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen. It's one of those things that I need to see. And, you know, you got to understand that, you know, K can Joe Burrow do that? You know, they have confidence that he can. Mm-hmm. If he can do that and they can really throw it around, and we all know what their defense is capable of with Dave Aranda and those big guys up front that they return, you know, you're looking at a team that can absolutely contend for the playoff. It's just, can they do enough offensively through mm-hmm. the air? I think that is the big question.
Always has been, always will be, until, like you said, we actually see it. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, at SI Now. You've been all over the country. Alabama, chip on their shoulder. They got humbled by Clemson. Nick usually bounces back pretty strong. He's got new coaches all over the place. But he's got Tua, and he's got the best wide receiver class in the country. He's got a really good running back. What are your thoughts on the Crimson Tide and heading into this season?
Yeah, wouldn't expect any kind of drop off by Alabama. They have restocked and reloaded, and or their defense has. You know, offensively, they return most of their guys. I mean, all the skill guys.
Yeah.
The receiver, he's got, you know, three of the best receivers in the nation. I mean, the running backs lost some guys, but they've got, you know, a five-star signee that kind of is right there to fill the hole of Damian. And then, of course, Tua, you know, at quarterback. So they're stacked offensively. I wouldn't expect any kind of drop-off there. They had some holes defensively, but as we all have come to kind of realize with Alabama, it really doesn't matter how many starters they lose from one year to the next. Nick Saban has those guys always just so talented, signing such talented players, and especially on the defensive front seven, that always seem to be so deep. No matter who they lose, they got all these guys that, you know, they're not household names one minute and the next they are. Quinnen was a good example of that. Last fall, nobody knew who he was right. Before the Quinnen Williams. Nobody knew who right. he was week one, and all of a sudden week three, you know, everybody knows who he is, and he ends up getting drafted, I think, in the first round. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure it'll be more of that, you know, more of the same there. And you look at Alabama's schedule, and honestly, it's one of the easier, probably in the SEC, among the SEC teams. So,
yeah.
You know, I expect them right back to be in the playoffs.
He is Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. Washington State's going to be in a series modeled after Hard Knocks. I mean, Mike Leach up close and personal with a microphone. I mean, that's gold, right?
It sure would seem like that. You know, I spent some time with Mike Leach out in L.A. at the Pac-12 Media Day, and he's just as kooky and goofy, but very, very, very smart. You know, as everybody, as you see on videos and read, I mean, he really is. He's a joy to spend time with. And, you know, if anybody we're going to have, any college program we're going to have, you know, the Hard Knocks, I would think, you know, he would be one of the most colorful characters to spotlight. So I'm pretty excited for sure about that.
You know, we take in this part of the world, and you were a part of this. This college football season is like a religion here in the state of Louisiana. But you get to travel all over the country. Is it similar in other spots? I mean, is it kind of a religious thing with people? I mean, as you travel across the country, this thing that's about to hit us right in the face, a college football season?
No, it's not the same, you know. It's different. I think the AP had, I haven't read it yet, but the AP had a big story yesterday kind of talking about that exact thing, how college football wants to be a national sport, but it's really a regional sport. You know, it's really in the Southeast. Okay. That's where it is.
Yeah.
And it's true. Uh-huh. You know, I'm up here in D.C., and I've traveled to places up here, Virginia, West Virginia, the Carolinas, went out to L.A., have hit up some places out there in California, and it's just not the same. You know, in these places, a lot of times it takes a backseat to either pro sports or just something else, you know, or even college basketball uh-huh. in some places I've gone. So, yeah. You know, but down there in the SEC, it is different. You know, it is like a religion, and it's really nowhere similar to that I've experienced.
Interesting. Yeah, those big cities, they're worried about the Redskins, the Nationals. Do they even care about the Wizards anymore? I mean, come on. They're awful, but very interesting. So where will your travels take you next? I mean, you're heading to Orlando next, right? That's your next gig?
Yeah. I'll be going to Orlando from Florida, Miami, and I'll be turning around a few days later and heading down to Clemson. They host Georgia Tech in the Thursday night season opener. And then from there, going to Atlanta and flying out from Atlanta to go to Dallas for Auburn, Oregon that Saturday. So busy schedule.
Okay. Busy schedule. Will you be in Austin for LSU and the Longhorns?
I will. Yeah, the next week I'll return back to Texas for LSU and in the Longhorns. Absolutely.
All right. Well, good. You're a busy man. All the best to the family. We look forward each and every Monday to talking with you. Next week we'll get to talk about a real football game and your experiences in Orlando as they try to make this in-state rivalry worth something again, but it should be a lot of fun, and we'll see what happens with the Hurricanes and the Gators. But Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, thank you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. I'll talk to you next week, Jordy.
You got it, brother. So we look forward to Ross each and every week as he travels the globe covering college football. So we'll have the local teams, and then we'll have the national perspective of what's going on in college football. Again, Clemson number one, Alabama number two, LSU ranked number six in the preseason. Associated Press poll that just came out today. How about that? All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. A little daily history lesson in the world of sports, some birthday wishes, and maybe some more sound as we get ready to wrap things up. Monday edition, Jordy Helfberg Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
All the best guests join the Jordy Helfberg Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
All right. Busy. Yes, indeed. I think Hard Knocks with Washington State is going to be great. Notice there's been no word on Alabama, Penn State. I'll believe that when I hear it. I'll believe that, yes. Saints, winners. Got to work on that offensive line. Got some depth. Chris Clark, Michael Ola. Clark exited on a cart with his right leg in an air cast. Ola suffered an apparent injury late in the third quarter. He received some attention in the medical tent before walking to the locker room under his own power. So the Saints will probably bring in more offensive linemen for a workout this week. The big story, Taysom Hill does it all. And if I'm Marcus Shirelles, I'm wondering if my job as a punt returner is secure. Shirelles hasn't practiced since the preseason opener for some unknown reasons, and rookie wide receiver Deontay Harris has taken advantage of his absence and has had back-to-back strong preseason performances. Man, he gets the ball in his hands as a collective hold-your-breath type of feeling when he feels the ball because he feels like he's going to break one. He had a 26-yard punt return and a 29-yard kickoff return Sunday. So Saints win. No big serious injuries, but stand by on that one. New York Jets next up on the horizon. LSU had their second preseason camp situation, and Coach O liked it. But here's what he talks about roster spots. He's going down to the wire on some positions that are still up for grabs.
I feel like I know who our starters are going to be in most positions. The left guard position is not solidified yet. Obviously, there's going to be some rotating on defense that we got to look at. You know, Grant Delpit is a starter for us, but hasn't scrimmaged. We got to look at who's going to be the third safety. We got to look at who's going to be the starting linebacker. Is it Jacob Phillips? Is it Patrick Queen? Is it Damone Clark? And I don't think we have to make a decision now. But those are the things that seem up for grabs right now.
All right, so there you have it from the coach's mouth. Again, their third quote, in air quotes, preseason scrimmage will be this coming Saturday. That's only going to be in helmets only, no shoulder pads, no hitting. That's simply to get the timing and the communication on par so that when they tee it up against Georgia Southern 12 days from today, they'll be organized and everybody will know where they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to be, where they're supposed to line up, all those things. Meanwhile, Billy Napier, he's looking for a second tier of players to emerge as well. Depth, but as he said earlier today, his first unit, he's pleased with where they are right now.
I thought overall our first units really took a step forward. We're really a combination of lineups. You know, we held a handful of players out, but it was we made progress. Scrimmage one to scrimmage two, lots of players played better, improved in their execution. It was very physical, very fast, very competitive, probably the best scrimmage since we've been here.
Best scrimmage since we've been here. Very good. So we've heard from those coaches, Sean Payton and company. Again, they are they're working. He says they still have a lot of work to do. But Trey Hendrickson, without Cam Jordan playing, was really good on the defensive line. And he's saying what everybody's saying in that, you know, we love watching Taysom Hill, and we feed off of his energy.
Yeah, he brings a different element to the game. You know, when a quarterback's dropping his shoulder, that's always fun to watch. So I love him. He's a great special teams guy, and, you know, he brings it every day.
All right. So there you have it from the coach's mouth and the player's mouth. A little history lesson time as we quickly get ready to get out of here. It was on this date, August 19th, the year 2011, a left-handed phenom by the name of Kid Danny, Danny Almonte, throws a perfect game at the Little League World Series. Kid Danny on this day, August 19th, the year 2011. Good luck to that team from River Ridge. Yes, indeed, on the East Bank. How about that? All right. Birthday wishes. If August 19th is your special day, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share with the likes of 57-year-old from Full House, John Stamos. From Friends, Matthew Perry is 51 years old today, and former President Bill Clinton is 74. So happy birthday to all of you and to them. I hope you have a great day with a lot of cake and a lot of ice cream. Yes, indeed, and maybe even a present or two. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary from all of us to all of you. Keep adding year after year after year to it. Special thanks to our guests, Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicles on the Saints, Brooks Cabina of the Advocate on LSU football, Jimmy Smith, Tiger Details, recruiting, Nick Fontenot, the advertiser, the Raging Cajuns, and Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. Special thanks to my producer that puts it all together, Clint Domain. Job well done, my friend. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to all of our great partners that make this possible each and every day. Tomorrow, more on the home teams, the Tigers, the Cajuns, the Saints, and anything else that's happening in the world of sports. We have only one Monday, August 19th. Make it a great one. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Until then, I am Jordy Hilker. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.